Bless you. Can do, yeah. I mean, Breadline, it's a charity that supports the work of believers in Moldova. That way, Woodford for many years. You perhaps remember Paul Samways as a local preacher, a trustee. She came regularly, but she brought Ian Hames to us last week, which I hadn't met before. And this is just a special, these people are from Moldova, Victor and Lila Zama. So they're on the ground, as it were, working out there. So they were saying it's going to be a really good night. That's
refreshments will be served. Right, it is. It's good to be with you all on such a beautiful sunny morning. And let's read something from God's word as we focus our attention on him today. I don't really want all this clutter on here. Hang on, let me get rid of that. That's better. Right, I want to turn your thoughts as we come to worship to some words from Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord seated on a throne high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. What an experience this man had there in the temple courts. Jesus seated on the throne. And so we gather today, we're going to crown him with many crowns and take ourselves to the heavenly places and realize we worship one who was dead but is alive forevermore. Seated in the heavenly realms. So let's rejoice together. Thank you. 109 if you've got a book.
Oh,
Father, we rejoice in the truth of that song we have sung, that one was dead, death has been conquered. Death, where is your sting? Thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and we praise you for this freedom that we have to gather here in this place today to worship you, to bring our praise, to bring our adoration, no matter how we feel, whether we feel high on the mountains and full of the joys of spring, or whether we feel down in the depths of the valley struggling with what's happening in our lives right now. We can come into your holy presence, into the presence of one who changes not, who is always available, always constant, always supportive. And so we come just as we are, praying that we won't stay as we are, that we will learn more of your love and more of your power and encounter afresh thy Spirit in this place today. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would look into our hearts, that you'd help us to be honest in our thinking with you here in this place, be honest in our thoughts and our prayers, that you might be able to meet our deepest need. We thank you that even when we've let you down in our thoughts and words and deeds, we can still come. And we do crave your forgiveness for those times when we have let you down, that nothing might hinder our fellowship with you in this place today. Please would you draw near to us. Please would you heal the broken hearts. Please would you mend the wounds of our thoughts and our thinking, and refresh us and uplift us as we start this new week in step with you. We commit this time of worship into your hands, praying that you would receive the honour and the glory, and that you would speak through your word to each one of us. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and we share together in the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Come into God's presence. 1087, we're going to sing now, please. Lord, I come before your throne of grace. 1087, if you need the book.
Thank you.
the faithfulness of God. I'm sure if we went around the room, well, I trust if we went around the room, there are many people that can testify to the faithfulness of God, the one whom we worship. That he doesn't change when life throws troubles at us, that he still reigns, that he is still God, he is good, he does us. And we're thinking of those thoughts in our minds, there's particular people to pray for. I believe Charles is still in hospital, not well at the moment, is that right? Yeah. So any other people we want to shout out names this morning to pray for? Mary Neal, is she at home now?
Yes.
But yeah, so she's home. Anybody else do you want to now names to shout out? Lily and Daisy. Lily. Okay. Ginny. Lily, Daisy and Ginny. Any other names? I'm not gonna remember all the names. God's hearing this conversation. Any other names you want to shout out this morning to bring to God of people that we know who are struggling, friends and neighbours? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these names have been shouted out and the names we've thought about in our minds, individuals, faces that come to mind this morning. Know that you still reign, that you're still God. Control of all things. But we all have difficult diagnoses to face. We all have challenges. We all have a brain that takes us down dead ends sometimes as we think all sorts of what ifs and challenges that face us. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that even when things that happen are not in our plans and according to our own personal agendas, and we quickly say why, that you can use all things for your glory. And you've promised to always be with us through the challenges and through the storms of life. But in the stillness and the quietness here today, we bring our prayers and our petitions to thee, in particular, for the people that we care and love.
And even perhaps for ourselves, things happening in our lives that nobody else knows about, but you do. And you hear our prayers. People that are lonely, people that are grieving, people that are struggling with age effects on bodily movement and ability to do things, people who've had accidents. We do thank you for the healthcare professionals who are able to support and help in so many ways. But above all, we thank you for your amazing love. That you promise never to leave us or forsake us. And we pray that these individuals that we've thought of in our minds this morning might be aware of your love, and that you'd help us to play our part in reaching out to them and showing that there is a God who cares, a God who helps, a God who loves, a God who saves. And with that, we have hope for now and for eternity. So we ask for your blessing on these people and ourselves in Jesus' name. Amen. And we sing, I'm not sure how familiar you are with this next song. It's on a video so that you can either watch it and absorb it or join in if you feel able. Perhaps we'll remain seated. Thank you. It's called You Still Reign and You're Still God. Questions hit so hard.
of your cross and fix my eyes upon you, Jesus.
So that we could hear those words. It's been a favourite of mine for a little while, and then that lady who wrote it and sung it was actually at Spring Harvest, so it was quite amazing to sing it with thousands of others, and the person that wrote it was very, very moving. But what an important message, because we can look at the world around us, we could perhaps even look at our own lives and see things that are happening, and the number of times we're going, what? Why? And sometimes it's difficult to acknowledge that God is God and he is still reigning. And we need to perhaps change our what ifs to even if. Certainly from my experience, even if the results don't come back that I want, I've known that God's hand has been on me and has used these things for his glory. And the Bible reading appointed for the lectionary, I've gone to the lectionary today, I don't often do that, but I have today, and it's Luke 24, very familiar story, but this is a story that records some people who were downcast, who were not understanding what was happening in their world, and let's face it, we've all got our own worlds that other people kind of think they understand, but nobody really gets your world other than you personally. No matter how much you share your world with other people, the only person that really knows you and what's going on in your head is you and God. And these people were despondent. They were not understanding what's going on. And there were two of them, and it's always good to be able to share the journey with someone else. The story takes place, of course, after Easter, is where we are in our calendar at the moment. And what awful thing had just happened? Jesus was dead. They thought he was going to solve all their problems. He was going to change the world and their world. And he was gone. He was crucified. They couldn't get a handle on it. Does that ever happen in your lives? You know, things happen and you're like, well, most of you here know that, and I still can't get my head round, why is Jim not here? Still, my husband died, it's nearly 8 years ago now. And yet we were working together for the Lord, working in youth ministry, and suddenly one minute he's here and the next minute he's gone. And you think, why? And I haven't got an answer to that. And I did say to somebody, I'm going to ask why when I get to heaven. And they said, when you get there, it won't matter. But these things, they play on our minds, don't they? Things happen in our lives and we can get dragged down into the things that we don't understand instead of looking up to the one who has a plan for our lives. These people in our story today were downcast. They were looking down. It says in verse, if you've got a Bible, I'm just going to pick through this story so it's not coming up on the screen. But in Luke 24, verse 13, it says, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. It was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. How often is Jesus right by your side, wanting to get involved in your circumstances? And I often imagine this picture of something, hello, I'm here, hello, would you like me to get involved? Are you going to talk to me? Are you going to invite me into your situation? And he's just waiting for that invitation.
And so as Jesus comes in along this story, he asks them a question. Maybe he's asking you this question today. What are you discussing with everybody else except me? What are you discussing together as you walk along? And it says they stood still, their faces were downcast, looking down, look at all the troubles around them. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And Jesus says, "What things?" Is he saying that to you today? You're talking in your head to people that don't understand, and Jesus says, "Well, I do understand, but tell me what's really on your heart. What are these really real deep things that are getting to you right now? Talk to me, be honest with me." And so the people do. So it's, what are you discussing with everyone except me? What are the things that are really bugging you? What's going on in your life? Talk to me. And so the passage continues. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied, "he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. And we had hoped..." Oh, we all have hopes and dreams, don't we? And it says, "but we had hoped." So where have those hopes gone? "But we had hope that he was past tense, the one who was past tense, going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but did not find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see." There was no corpse. What they were looking for wasn't there. They were looking for the wrong thing. They were looking for a corpse. Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. Do you need to sit down at table with Jesus and allow him to really have a conversation with you and to reveal his glory? It takes time to get to know people. It takes time to offload. Do you offload with everybody else other than Jesus? When they had broken bread together, they couldn't see him anymore, but they said, "Were our hearts not burning within us while he walked and talked with us on the road, opening up the scriptures?" And that encounter was so fantastic, they got up and went all the way back to Jerusalem to tell them what they had seen. It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. They knew the other end as well. And the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Very familiar story, I'm sure, to everybody here today. But this encounter with Jesus was so real to them, and yet they were in a situation of absolute desperation. They didn't understand. And if not today, then I'm sure at some time in your life, or you may know someone who is in a similar place. What do we do when things don't turn out as we expect them to? Well, I brought some visual aids for you today to think about this situation. And we haven't got that many children here, so I don't know whether they're up to help or not. But here are my things. Do I have any helpers today? Maybe. Hey, we have loads of helpers. Oh, you've all snuck in when I wasn't looking. Brilliant. Have it in. What do you think's in there? What do you think's in there? Oh, I've got plenty more.
that as my water. That's not part of the illustration. There we go. There's another one there. Yes. Did I bring enough for everyone? Anybody else want a tin? Oh. Nobody else want it? You have one. You're a little bit of a shop. I wonder what is in the tin.
What's missing? What's missing? What does it need? When you go to your cupboard, do your tins look like that at home? Do they? Oh, wow, you're going to have struggling in your cupboard, in your pantry then, aren't you, hey? What's missing? Come on, you tell me what's missing. The labels are all missing. Yeah, I've got a few. Oh, hang on. I did have a few somewhere. I'm going to have an interesting time in the kitchen this week. There we go. Got one here, look. I wonder which label you'd like, guys. Oh, look, this one says strawberries. Who thinks they've got some strawberries? Do you think you might have strawberries? Or are you hoping you've got strawberries? I'll give you that label. There you go. Oh, this one's got tomatoes on it. Who thinks they might have tomatoes? You think you're more like beans? Somebody's got tomatoes. Are you going to have that one? Oopsie, sorry. Well, I've got evaporated milk. And I've got a rice pudding. And I've got another strawberries. Actually, it looks like... strawberries. What do you think might be in your tin? What do you reckon? What do you think? Oh, you're going for the rice pudding. You know, when I get home and open these tins, I'm going to let you know if you were right. I'm going to have a very interesting dinner. Which one? There's got to be one of these. That's got a label on it that says skipjack. That sounds like it as well. You're absolutely right. You see, these are different shapes, those of you at the back that can't see. So we know this is kind of a tuna tin, and it, I didn't know it said skipjack on there, but that's quite helpful. So you've got a bit of information in there. There are some people that didn't know skipjack meant that. Anyway, let me take them off. You needn't hold on to them anymore. Put them on the table. Sorry, our starval week. But you see, here we have two tins. I wonder, are they the same? Could be in oil and could be in water, you see. We've got some people on the ball. Could be in oil, could be in water. What is the most important part of the process when you go shopping? Do you want these on the table? I've got something else for you. Don't run away. I've got a blind friend, and when she goes shopping, it doesn't matter what's stuck on it because she can't see. Her eyes don't work. So what do you think she does? Feels it. Okay, you tell me what it is then.
It's definitely not rice pudding.
Okay, because it's not lumpy.
No, it's got pouring.
Oh, it's got pouring. Ooh. Tell me how my blind friend copes. Shall we put that on the table as well? She takes somebody with her. She has a shopping assistant that goes around with her. And then she has some braille labels on the tins so that when she gets home, she can feel the bumps. And it tells her what's inside the tin. And so this lady used to come to our brownie group and explain to the children how she coped. And they said, well, how can you trust them? And she said, well, sometimes I have a surprise. I have thought I've got baked beans and it was actually something else, rice pudding, which doesn't really go on toast, does it? But she sometimes gets a surprise when they're... We rely on labels so much, don't we? And what I want you to do, boys and girls, for me today... And you can draw one for yourselves. I put love on mine. Can you give everybody in the room a label? You want to give them out for me? Give all these big people over there a label. Can you do that for me? Would you like to give some out as well? Give everybody a label. There's some for you as well. Everybody needs a label. And then you can keep some and colour them in if you like. Labels. I'm going to have a love. Well, I had time to decorate mine. I wonder what you would write on your label. You don't need to write anything on it. It's just something for you to hold and to think about. I wonder if you was to describe your situation, your life right now, who you are. I wonder, there's nothing on it, Neil, you're all right. It's just an empty table. I wonder what you write on it. And I wonder if someone else had it, if they would write the same thing as you do. Oh, she looks really happy today. She's got it all together. And you might think, oh, I'm having the worst day of my life. The labels we put on things, other people don't always. Have you got some left? You haven't got any left. Take those to the table and you can draw on them if you like. Oh, in the corner. Thank you very much. Give these children a round of applause, please. That's very brave to come to the front. You can go back to the table, and if there's some spare labels, I'm sure there are, you can colour them in. Did I give them all out? Oh, I knew I'd got too many labels. There's another one there. Labels, very useful. But it's not very useful when someone labels you some way that's wrong. Oh, she's always wrong. I'm trying. Life's like right now. You know how my smile on my face today. The only person that really knows what's going on behind the scenes is God, and He does know. Just as He knew what's going on in the lives of these people on that long, long, long road, Jesus knew, and He knows what's going on in their lives. You could keep those labels and draw on them. That's fine. Yeah, if you want to draw on them, pretty pictures. So. I've got three thoughts about a label for you to take away, and you can keep those labels and put something on them. Number one, what's on a label can affect where something ends up. I have a wrapper here. It didn't actually come to me direct, but it's got my name and address on it. So if the right people get the right thing and read the right barcode, then a label can get you to the right destination. And if you tell somebody lovely, joyful names, then they're going to be a different grumpy, grumpy, grumpy.
The power of words.
We've all, I'm sure, experienced the power of words. What people say to us can affect our mood, can just like that. The words that we apply to people, get them going in the right direction towards Jesus, towards His love, towards His power. He still reigns and He's still God. The direction and the destination, a label's content can affect somebody's journey. How are you with other people? What sort of labels do you put on people that makes them close down, build them up? It affects people's identity as well. A label that you put on somebody. Oh, they'll never come to any good. They'll never make it. That's my. You know little labels that people stick on you and you think, oh, they'll never come to anything. They'll never make anything of their lives. I always remember the story of the man who ran away. I shouldn't say this too loud. He had no exams at all. He did absolutely rubbish at school. And there he was, managing director of his company. Yet he'd been labelled as he wasn't going to get anywhere or do any good. And yet he took that label off. What is your label on your life at the moment?
How do you see yourself? Because sometimes
we put labels on ourselves, saying, oh, I'm no good. I'm good for nothing.
We're all good. God bless you so much. He's made you.
And all you've got to do is be the best version of you. Don't look at everybody else's labels. Don't try and be somebody else. Be the best version of you. So if you put your name on that, God wants me to be the best version of Susan. That's for me, not for you. You put your name on there and be the best version of you as God has called you to be. Labels can be so damaging, but they can also be very uplifting. And labels can also
be taken off.
And sometimes I think we need to remember that. That's a cancer patient over there. That person. And that's their label. It doesn't have to be for life. You can take that label off. That's not going to define me. I'm going to have God as my label. What sort of label Easter story. I'm just noticing the time. I must. We had Thomas. What they? Doubting Thomas. Well, now he did one thing. He dared to say, "You know, you saw someone alive last week who I saw crucified. I don't believe you." That's not really that tough, is it? I mean, kind of, we would all be in that box, wouldn't we? Yet that one little incident in his life, even in 2026, we're calling him Doubting Thomas. So I'm relabeling Thomas, Honest Thomas, because he said what everybody else would be thinking. And how amazing is that? Because earlier on in John's Gospel, we learn that Thomas said it again. He said, Jesus said, I'm going. And Thomas says, I don't know where you're going. Tell us a bit more. And we get that one little verse that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's because Thomas was honest. And he said to Jesus, I don't understand it. I don't get it. What's going on? I don't understand. So let's take the Doubting Thomas label off and put the Honest Thomas label on. Let's be ourselves with Jesus. Let's allow his faithfulness to permeate our being. These guys in our story today were looking for a dead man. What a label to have, a dead man. And Jesus even tore that label off. There is no label that Jesus can't replace. Know that you are loved. Know that God is good. Don't have a negative label on your life that you can't take. I simply wrote that here. Don't make a label into a two. Don't take a negative label and make it into a tattoo. Because life is a book. It's got chapters. We go through seasons. Don't close the book. Keep turning the pages. Walk through the valleys. Don't sit down in the valleys. Don't close the book. Do we have a scripture up there? Did you find me my I didn't know whether you were looking at it or not. I hadn't turned round. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and your labor as yourself. Doesn't say do that if they're nice, lovely, if they're kind. We are called to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and your neighbors as yourself. And yet we put labels on people, don't we? All their trouble, their noise, all like them. And yet God says, love one another. Loved you, and by this we'll all know that you are my disciples. My final object, and then I will shut up, is, hey kids, do you know what this is? What is it?
A carrot.
Hey, you see, even the little ones knew what this was. It's a carrot. Is there a label on it? No.
Peter Rabbit.
You see, some things in life don't need labels because you know what they are. That's as believers we should be. We shouldn't need a label to the world to say I love Jesus. People should see it by how we live and who we are and what we do. You don't need a label on a carrot. The other scripture I gave Seth to find was, by their fruits you will know them. If you love one another as Christ has loved us, then people will know that you serve one who was dead that is alive. But if we live as the world lives, people don't see the difference. How do we handle our problem? Different because we've got Jesus in our hearts, helping us, strengthening us. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What labels are you wearing as you go out into the world? Do you need a label to say, I'm a Christian? Or does it shine through the way you live and handle your life? As we contemplate these thoughts, we're going to sing, Search me, O God, and know my heart. He knows your heart. May other people see Jesus' heart shining through. you. Let's sing our song together. Thanks. Thank you. Any label that any human being has ever placed upon our life does not have to stay there. You are a God who reigns. We are part of your family when we have accepted Jesus into our hearts. We pray that where we have failed, that you would restore. Where there is fear, that you would increase our faith. Where there is pain and despair, you would make us more aware of your love and purposes for our lives. That we might go forwards into this week knowing that we are one of the King's kids. You are our Father who will never leave us or forsake us, no matter what the world throws at us. And your Holy Spirit lives in us and wants to flow through us into the world around us. And so we invite you, Holy Spirit, to do just that. Our lives afresh, that we might impact the lives of those around us, knowing that you will never leave us or forsake us. We give you all the glory. Amen. Now, in the theme of label, we finish our service today with our act of communion, with gathering around the Lord's table. But before we do that, we've put together a PowerPoint. You have some new deacons looking after you as part of the fellowship here. And it's good to acknowledge that they have chosen to step out and take on this responsibility to serve you as a church and to take all the flack that that involves. And so if we can have start on that presentation, please. The first thing we're going to do together is to acknowledge the membership here. So I've got some visitors today, but those who regularly worship here, does it matter if you're a member? Not really. Let's dedicate. If you're a regular worship here, can I encourage you to stand and join in with the yellow parts on this presentation as we gather around the Lord's table. So I'll read the white bits and you can join in with the yellow as you commit again to serve in this place. As members of Carey Memorial Baptist Church, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
We do. We trust in whom we trust.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour? Do you turn from sin, renouncing evil, and intend to seek to follow Christ?
We do. Christ is our way. The Spirit of heaven, you follow
Jesus, the church, and Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. So you are to love one another. If there is this love among you, then everyone will know that you are my disciples. So I invite you now to covenant together before God and each other. Amen. And if I could thank you, did I invite the deacons to come forward, and as we acknowledge their willingness to take on this over there, as long as you can see the screen, because there's some words up there for you now, and then we will share the communion together. So this is, say everybody, no, Julie's missing, I think there's one short, Julie, yeah, so Julie is also, if you weren't sure, so a treasurer. So we've got Keith, secretary, as you know, and the others seeking to serve together. So I would ask your deacons, let me get the right page in my book. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus as your Saviour and Lord? Do you believe that God has called you through his church to this office? And do you promise in the dependence upon his grace to exercise this ministry faithfully?
As disciples of Jesus Christ, we believe.
That's it. So it carries on in here then. So let me pray for these guys then, shall I? As I've seen the book now, I knew the book came up. Loving God, we wonder at the way women and men into partnership with you. For the sake of your saving purposes, for and empower your spirit so that your church may be built up and your gospel proclaimed and lived. We thank you for these brothers and sisters whom you have called to serve you within this fellowship. Give thanks for their following of Jesus and their willingness by your grace to serve together. As we commission them for this ministry, we ask your blessing upon them. Guide and equip them by your spirit that your church may grow in wisdom, love, and unity, and that your name be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. And I was going to read a blessing, which we haven't got up there because I told you to take it out. If you know, join in these words. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I, Holy Spirit, bless you. And well done, guys. We give these a round of applause, I think, please, because it's quite a commitment to work and serve you in this way. Who's going to say the prayer for the communion? You go over there then, and you guys can all, let's all stay, all stay. Grab another chair. Is Fred too much of Fred? Stay, Carol. Carol, stay. Sorry. Fred will sit down. Thanks, Fred. So we're going to gather around the communion table now. The emblems. Thanks.
In prayer, let's pray. Father God, we just praise you and thank you that you have called each one of us into your service, into your family. And Father, it's a great privilege this morning to be able to join and to gather together to share this bread and this wine, which are to us a symbol of your broken body and your shed blood. Lord, none of us can really appreciate the cost that it was for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, to die upon that cross so that our sins might be forgiven. We do thank you, Lord, that you sent Jesus, that he loved us so much, that he gave his life for us. And so, Father, as we eat this bread and as we drink this wine together this morning, Lord, you might give us a fresh understanding of what salvation is all about and how it applies personally to each one of us. So just bless us now, Father, that we share this meal together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come to this table not because you must, but because you may.
Not because you are strong, but
because you are weak.
And not because
any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy. Come because
you love the Lord a little and
like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Handed on to you that
the Lord Jesus, on the night
he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. And as often as you drink this cup and eat this bread, you declare the Lord's death until he comes. Glory to his name." And so we these emblems together, acknowledging a risen Saviour. Thank you. Here we go. Oh, thank you. the same manner also he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Oh, what a privilege it is to be able to say, I serve a risen Saviour, and he's in the world today. He was crucified for you and for me. In my place, condemned he stood and sealed our pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Saviour. And so we share this juice to remind us of the cost of our salvation. Thank you.
Give us a fresh understanding of brotherly love that is real. Let there be love shed among us. Let there be love. Let there be love shed among us. Let there be love. May now your love, sweet creature, cause us, O Lord, to arise, give us a fresh understanding of brotherly love that is real. Let there be love.
I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Glory to his name. Amen. So to conclude our gathering today, apologies, those of you that got roasts in the oven, but we've overrun a little bit this morning. We're going to proclaim the good news that Jesus saves as we empower one another to go out into the world and to take Jesus with us. Because my simple little final thought is, do you know what? It doesn't matter what label you put on this tin, the inside's still the same. So if I get beans or rice pudding on my toast, I should be thinking about you. God is the one that transforms us from the inside out. Glory to his name. Let's sing together.
We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves. Spread the message all around. Jesus saves. The news to every land, all the seas across the waves, upwards gives our Lord's command. Jesus saves. He saves, he saves. Christ Jesus is
girls, so the next time just the verse.
Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves. Towns and cities far and wide, Jesus saves. Sing the islands of the sea,
Saves. That's a fantastic note to end on. The chorus that you didn't have says, he saves Christ, Jesus is alive, his cross and grave become our victory. He saves, reconciled to God, tell the nations, Jesus saves. Heavenly Father, thank you for that reality. Thank you that you are one who never changes, and you will be with us. You will empower us and you will help us to love our neighbours as ourselves as we invite you afresh into our lives this day. Thank you for being with us and help us, Lord, we pray, to be a blessing in the world this week, giving you the glory. Amen.